If you haven't done so already, make sure to check out the list of 30 plus free and affordable tools I use to run my business. No asking for your email, no upsells, just pure value to help you and your business. You can get it at passionbreakthrough.com/tools. Hello, everyone. We are back for another episode of the Passion Breakthrough podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Diane Shelton here, certified business coach and founder of Passion Breakthrough, helping you get clarity and structure to build your profitable and sustainable online business. And today we have a special guest joining us from Wasaga Beach, Canada, Holly Lowe, who after experiencing extreme burnout, she made the decision to pursue health for her leg and for her family, and she stumbled into the world of essential oils, which I personally also love. And she quickly became a Canadian founder of doTERRA Oils, and her passion and expertise as a doula and childbirth educator led her to create Oil Babies to provide safe, helpful education for parents around natural health options for their children. So her team right now generates an average of about 3 million in sales each month. And her business does business online worldwide. So Holly, I'm super excited to have you on here and talk about your online business and your journey. So thank you so much for being here with us. So let's go ahead and dive right in. I'd love to hear all about your story and how you got into this world of entrepreneurship, and tell us your story.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate being here. It's so fun to get to chat with other entrepreneurs and business-minded, you know, women. So a little back history for me. I spent many, many years as a early childhood specialist, infant specialist, that type of thing. And I was also a competitive figure skating coach at the time. So I balanced those two lives, you know, work life and then coaching life as sort of separate entities. And when my niece was born, so the first baby in our family, before I had children, both my sister and I, my older sister, were kind of appalled and shocked at the whole process of, you know, what we thought midwives would provide, what we thought hospitals would provide, what they didn't do, what they did do. And so we came out of it with a real burning desire to start our own business as doulas. So we became trained as certified doulas through DONA. We both went on to become certified childbirth educators. And it kind of evolved then from there into just a passion for helping families have a voice, especially moms and expectant parents. And I guess all in all, it's always been coaching. When I look back at it, I'm like, I've always been coaching in some form. I wouldn't call myself a coach today in any way. And yet that seems to be the overwhelming, you know, blanket title of what I do. So I ended up starting, we opened a business together, and I opened a storefront location where we had a studio, taught classes, and all the fun stuff that goes along with birth and babies. And it grew into a baby boutique. With very specific products. Yeah. So it was fun. It was, you know, kind of small town baby shop. And it was a great way for me to get my feet wet in sales and in the idea of being an entrepreneur, because before that, you know, I saw myself as an advocate, a birth professional, and the classes and the business side of that was just the business of what we did. We did a lot of it pro bono, you know, we worked on sliding scale. So in many ways, it was easy to not look at it as a legitimate career, even though it is a very, you know, incredible legitimate career. I was still coaching skating full time, which in my mind was my job. And then the store was more of a passion project. It was a hobby. I was happy to break even. But at the same respect, my husband was working his butt off as an amazing award winning real estate agent. But he was the sole, you know, breadwinner in our family, because what I did broke even. It cost us money at times and things like that. So it was when our second baby, she was really sick. She just was a very sick baby. She always had respiratory issues from about 6 months on, and in and out of hospital all the time, in and out of eMERGE. No real help as far as what was wrong and how to help her. And it was one of our final trips to Sick Kids eMERGE on the Easter weekend. She was about 14 months old. And I was just done. Like, physically, my health was really failing. I was having a lot of chronic issues. My business, I was having to hire people to run the store. I was going, you know, starting to go into some debt, which I had never had debt for this business. And that was sort of my goal, was I can keep doing this as long as it doesn't cost me, you know, more than what I'm able to break even with. And it took a huge toll on our family. I had a 6-year-old as well at the time. And that whole process really brought us to our knees as a couple, as a family, and we were at a breaking point. And it was my best friend who showed up one day at my store with oils, and I have scent allergies. So it was one of those moments where I went, "You're out of your mind. Like, what is this going to do for her? You know, I can't use this." And she was like, "You're going to trust me. You're going to try it. And then we're going to see what we can do to get her well," because I had no other options left. I don't know if any other mamas know that feeling of just, maybe it's with business, maybe it's with health, whatever, but where you feel like you're up against the wall and you really have no choice. You know, it's a very helpless feeling and hopeless feeling. So I took it and I used it, and, you know, make a very long story short, we had miraculous results with it. And that really started my journey into the idea of, you know, I have to give this a thought, right? I was always approached by network marketing companies. I was always approached by local businesses to help them promote free promotion, you know, join our team, join our business. And you get a lot of that when you're a local business and you're well known. Both my husband and I were always, you know, that target in a loving way, but it became kind of tiring, right? And very easy to say no eventually to, "I'm not even going to think about it." So we ended up supporting this, you know, great friends of ours, because they were doing this as a business because financially they were in a really tough place, and their kids had amazing results, massive results with these oils as well. And I went, "Okay, you know what, to support you guys, I'll be a customer and I'll promote these in my shop and I'll do all the things, right? We'll get well, I'll support you, but don't talk to me about the business. I have no interest in this style of business. I don't like network marketing. It's not my thing. I'm not a salesperson," all the reasons. And then 6 months later, I through no real intentions of my own, I was making money. And I'm like, "I don't know why they're sending me checks. Like, this seems legit, but I don't know what I'm doing." So that's how it started. We fell into it, put it that way. It sounds kind of, you know, storybook in that way, that I didn't go in this with a hustle in mind or that I had great intentions. I really did fall in love with it as a customer, which is why over 80% of our team is customers. It's not business partners. And that's our focus, is about supporting customers on their journey to get well.
Yeah, sometimes it's better that way, right? When it's not forced and it's just a natural fit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I was looking at your website, and I think, you know, like, part of the reason people fall in love with not just the business side, but fall in love with doing business with you specifically, is because, you know, like, to your point, like, I've been approached by so many network marketers stuff as well, but you educate people. You provide so many value on top of, it's not just, you know, you're not just doing like selling them this essential oil. You're actually telling them how it can be beneficial for them, and you're giving them other types of services. So I love that about how you've made this into multifaceted business. So I'm glad that you were able to do that for other people, because you're really providing a lot of value. So can you tell us a little bit in regards to, like, since this is, you know, like, something that you have so many different avenues of your business, what is the most enjoyable part of your business right now, in your business?
I think it's twofold because of what I've built. You know, we have the business side and we have the business teams. We have our leaders that we work with in our business. And then we have our customers, right? So on a customer front, like I said, I've always had this teaching, coaching kind of heading no matter what I've done in my life. I still love to teach. And my favorite thing to do, the thing that brings me joy, is to educate. It's why I started my podcast. It's why I wrote the books. It's why I've done the things I've done, not because I felt the need to do it. It's because I really enjoyed it. And educating safety, educating, kind of cutting through the noise, especially with health, especially with pregnancy and mamas and new babies, we're scared, right? Like, we don't know what we can take when we have a cold while we're pregnant. We don't know what we can put on our baby when they've got a sore tummy. Like, we have ideas, but as for the most part, we end up asking other moms. And that's one of the reasons the business grew without me even really putting a lot of effort in the beginning into it, was word of mouth. Because when moms find something that works, they tell other moms. And that's what I was doing, right? I was just teaching other moms in our classes, in our new baby classes. I was like, "Listen, my kid has reflux and this has worked amazing. Like, I've tried all the things and finally this works. So I think that side of it, just the education side, and like you said, that is my passion. That is the part that I want to make sure people are taught properly, because it's become a fad almost, right? Essential oils have suddenly become very popular, even though they're an ancient, art of healthcare. They ran the gamut of boom, there's an explosion of popularity. And with that comes a lot of misinformation.
Yes,
Always tell
I
people,
agree.
please don't use recipes from Pinterest. Please don't Google this. So this is why I do what I do. But then from the business side of things, I absolutely love just being the cheerleader, being the person who can say, hey, if I can do it, you can do it. Like the journey I've been on to get to where I am, I've been through everything. And to get to where we are, you have to do the things. You have to go through some stuff and you have to be willing to grow. But being on the other side of a lot of that now, not all of it, we're still growing, obviously, but to be on a lot of the other side of that now and be able to share those experiences and encourage people who are just starting out, and mentor in that way, I think that's the most fulfilling part of the business side is helping people find their potential, see what they can do with this, and then do the same, duplicate that, you know?
I love that part of the business too. It's just watching the other person have that fire light up in their eyes. I think that's super enjoyable. I agree with essential oils. At some point in my career, I also got into, like, it's a different brand of essential oil network marketing. And yeah, there's so much misinformation in regards to, like, put it in your water, and it's like, how many drops are you putting in your water and all that stuff, and give it to your pets. And it's just like, okay, you
Yeah,
need
slow
to,
down
right?
there.
Exactly. It's just like you need to really pay attention to where you're hearing it from, and trust and verify. And I love your mentality and the way that you're informing people of that one. It sounds like you are finding success in your business, but is there still some struggles that you currently have in terms of business, that pe other people might be able to learn from you?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the, and I don't know that it's specific to, social networking style of businesses. I think it's probably in any team-based atmosphere. If you're working with even one other person, you've got to be really good at negotiating humans. Like,
Right.
especially when it's mostly women in our industry. I'll be really blunt. I'd way rather work with men. In this industry, men just get it. Like there's no humming and hawing over how to do the job. There's no concern over what people think about them. They're just like, tell me what to do. I'm gonna go do it. They understand sales. Like my husband is brilliant at this. But when it comes to women, there's a whole other, and I respect that. I am one, but there's a whole other gamut of hormones and emotions and an innate intelligence and wisdom that we, are feeding on other people's energy. And, it just brings a whole other side to what we do in any style of business, but in this one in particular, even more so, because you have to navigate people's motivations or lack of. And when it's an entrepreneurial type, atmosphere, if someone doesn't share your motivation, if someone is happy to just putter along when you're on the racetrack, it can be really frustrating. And again, when in this setup in our business, we can have people who start out strong and, would be what we consider our business partners in the industry, and then just kind of call it quits and sit where they are and do nothing for the next 10 years and collect a paycheck. And it may feel unfair to some people. It may look unfair. I don't begrudge that at all. I'm like, hey, you put in the work, you get paid, do your thing. But being able to then go underneath and dig up those leaders that are not getting supported anymore and to care for other people's, I call them the orphans of our team, because you suddenly start to foster all these other leaders that really weren't your responsibility. But I'm the kind of person that I will never leave someone behind. Like, I'm not going to let you flounder. So I don't care if you're on my 10th level or my 20th level. If you reach up and you need me, and there's no one in between there who can lead you, I'll take you on, So that is a challenge in itself, I think, just the structure-wise of this industry. But I think always trying to navigate working with another person. And I don't know, I guess over the years of having sole entrepreneurships where I didn't really have to rely too much on that, but then also, as a sports person coming up in a team atmosphere and working as a team, I've learned that balance, and how to juggle some of that. But as an empath and as a woman who, you know, really feels other people's energy, it's a struggle. And I really struggle with boundaries to, you know, protect that and not let the frustration, you know, take over my motivation, if that makes sense. So I think staying motivated when others around you aren't, and staying focused in your own path and your own goal and your own vision, when you might feel like you're dragging the team with you at certain times, you know, those are all challenges that I think we'll face forever. Like it's just part of business. It's part of that style.
I don't see you as a person that would ever drag your team down, but I can totally relate in terms of like, you know, like the energy, right? That mm-hmm. other people around you can, like the empath perspective of it too. But I love the fact that you're supporting your team no matter what level they're in, because, you know, sometimes it can be difficult, and I'm glad that you're there for them and that they're getting the support that they need in their business so that they can be successful too. Because it can be difficult at times as well for other people. So they're lucky to have you for sure. So you mentioned balance. So can we talk about that for a minute for yourself? Like, how do you find balance for yourself as a mom, as an entrepreneur, and as someone that's mentoring all these other entrepreneurs in your team?
Well, I actually do a whole webinar that's called The Balance Myth, because I feel like so many, especially moms, even if you're not in business, I feel like moms, but especially women and men too, but entrepreneurs in general who have children or who have other responsibilities in their life, it could be aging parents, it could be, you know, other family members, whatnot. We really struggle with the idea that we should be able to do it all and do it all with ease and joy, you know, and that's just not the way it works. There's seasons where that will happen. Like I'm in a season of my life now where certain parts of my business are automated and just run smoothly because I've got it to that place. And then there's other areas that are not, right, that I know need work, and I know I'm going to have to put some attention down to it when I have time. So I've started doing things that I used to you do like a to-do list. I don't know if you do this, where you're like, okay, I do this every Sunday night. I kind of write out my list for the week, and I'd wake up Monday morning, and I don't have to get up at a certain time at my house. I can just loll around if I feel like it. But I would, you know, my feet would hit the floor Monday morning, and I was like, oh, you know, like I made the pressure of a to-do list for myself that I really couldn't accomplish in that week, let alone that day. So I started writing what I call my definitely maybe list. So instead of a to-do list, I have a definitely maybe list, and that's on a monthly basis. So I break it down this way, and this helps with the balance to answer that question. I actually do this at the end of December for the whole year, and I'm not a planner. Let me be really clear. I'm one of the least organized people you'll meet. Like if I showed you what I'm sitting in front of, what you can't see, I'm incredibly disorganized. But I plan general themes for the year, for example, on a product basis. I plan general themes throughout the year for my team on a leadership basis. And then on a month by month, and then break it down every Sunday evening, I break down that definitely maybe list to things that I really would like to accomplish in that month, maybe, or things that I think I'd like to accomplish. And then there's things I know I have to accomplish. So the reason I changed it to that is when it comes to definitely maybe, it means at the end of that month, I go back and I'll actually erase things off that list, because I'm like, you know what? I've thought about it. Like I've seen this on my list weekly now for 4 weeks, and it's like, eh. If that really is important, it's going to come up and I'll write it on the list next year, right? You know, when I was writing books last year, I'm like, whew, I got two books to crack off real quick. Let's get these done. And I'm in the middle of two more right now, three more right now. So I was like, okay, how am I going to fit this in? And it became a definitely maybe option where I went, I don't actually have to finish that one this year, right? But it's on there as a maybe. And then my definitely stuff, it's the things that I actually can get done or have to get done, right? And that goes into my schedule. And then I got really good at just almost micromanaging my time on certain weeks. So if I have a busy week, I do micromanage. I actually write in school time with my kids. I actually write in, you know, recess time for me and them. I actually put that on. I wrote in last month once a week a drawer that I was going to clean out because I was getting frustrated by the clutter. So my bathroom drawer got cleaned out on that day, and my kitchen junk drawer got cleaned out on this day. And it made me feel like it makes you feel, and you realize you're taking steps forward, even if they're small, you've made progress and you feel triumphant at the end of that month or the end of that week. So balancing, you know, I'm homeschooling three kids, three different ages. I've got grade 7, grade 3, and grade 1 going on right now. And we school in the mornings. Half of it is online programming that they do where they're marked and it's self-guided. And then the other half is me curriculum-wise that I'm teaching. And I've had to cut myself slack this year because last year I only had one homeschooled, my oldest, and the other two were in school. So, you know, you just learn as you go through these seasons, you learn what to let go of, and you give yourself a lot of grace, but you ask yourself, what are the non-negotiables in your life? For me, I need a housekeeper. So as part of my budget, I have someone who comes and cleans their house biweekly because it's one thing off my list. Now, maybe that's not something, maybe that's something you can do and you don't need to spend money on. Great. If that is something you can handle, perfect. You know, having a meal box where, you know, I subscribe to a vegan meal plan because that's important to me that when we're eating at home, we're eating vegan. So when we're out, we eat whatever we want or we order out, it's whatever they want. But there are things like that, again, where I'm at in my business, I can afford to do that and I can budget that in and my time is worth money. So it's finding those things that are non-negotiables for you that suck up some of your time and energy or maybe really make life miserable for you and finding ways to delegate it or, you know, hire out or, yeah, I don't know. Like it depends on the situation. It's pretty broad really, but finding what works for you as far as what you can let go of, what you can give yourself grace for and what you really need to have happen. Those are, write it down, make a list and decide that as a family, if you have, you know, family involved in this, as a couple is really important, being able to have your spouse on board or your partner and say, this is where I'm going to need you right now. I'm in a busy month, or, you know, the next 3 weeks are going to be crazy, or I'm writing a book for the next 3 months. I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to the cottage for 3 days each week, you know, whatever. Here's what my life is going to look like. We've had some really good friends who homeschool as well and kind of homestead on their own property. So we've shared some of that responsibility together during lockdown and they've been our bubble and they've been our, you know, our support when we're allowed to. And that's been a huge support for me, a huge help. So don't try to balance it all. I'd say, you know, if you find you're juggling and you're getting overwhelmed, there's things you got to drop and you got to find what the non-negotiables are that you're going to keep and figure out. And the rest, you let it go and you put it on that definitely maybe list for later and see if it stays, you know, see if it sticks.
Yeah, I love that because to your point, it's a balance myth. And, you know, like it's one of those things you dropped so many great gems in that in regards to do what's best for you. It's the season of your life. And, you know, like whether you do it once a year or, you know, like review it as often as you need to, but get help, you know, like you can't do it alone. And, you know, there's so many great things that you shared there that I think will help not just moms, but everyone that's tuning in that, you know, like need to find the right balance for themselves. It's really unique for the situation that they find themselves in at that moment in life, whether you're homeschooling or, you know, like you're writing a book or something else. So yeah, it's definitely some great stuff that you're sharing with us. So thank you so much for that. I'm learning some, you know, like I love that term in regards to the definitely maybe list. So I think that's a very helpful way to think about that as well. So you're not putting so much burden on yourself and so being so harsh on yourself when you don't get stuff done either. So thank you for sharing. So I love everything that you and I covered. It sounds like you have so many great values that you are able to share. If you can leave the audience with a quick tip that, you know, like your best tip that you have for us, whether it's your best self-care tip, a tool that helps you for your productivity or anything like that, what's your best tip for us today?
This is going to sound really funny, but honestly, the best thing I have done or learned or shared out in the last, I'd say, 2 years, especially the last year, has been learning breath work. And it's not something I ever thought I would be like, oh my gosh, I'm into breath work. But I, you know, over the past year, people are putting out courses left, right, and center, you know, let's learn something. And I was subscribing to everything. I'm like, bring it on. What can I learn? How can I advance what I already know with, you know, aromatherapy and stress relief? What can I do with this? And breath work just made sense to me. So we did a whole tapping summit and learned tapping with Nick Ortner. But then I also did an amazing breathwork program, and I'm actually training to become a breathwork coach, and it's changed everything. My kids do it, I do it. I have an older one who struggles with anxiety, and you know, he has put this to use with the oils he knows how to use. So even if it's just looking up some YouTube videos on breathwork for stress, breathwork for motivation, breathwork for focus, You'd be amazed how easy it is to learn, how fast you can change just how you start your day and how you confront stress. So I adore mixing that with some of the benefits, the real like crossing the blood brain barrier type of oils, like frankincense and things like that, and using that with combined with very simple breathwork techniques. I know that might sound hokey, like for some people,
yes, it might be way out there.
It was for me at first. I'm like, come on. Same feeling I had when somebody offered me an oil. I was like, come on, you're joking. But as soon as we started doing the breath work, I realized how incredible my body benefited, but my brain and my thought process and my, you know, brain fog and motivation and all of that. So if you're in a place, especially as we've gone through some really high stress and we're still in some super high stress times, it's a huge benefit. So even if oils aren't your thing, or, you know, natural health isn't your thing, we all breathe. So
right.
That would be my tip. I haven't got anything to offer you yet because I'm not trained in it yet, but I would say just do some research, take a few videos, look them up, and just dig into that a little bit. It would be a huge, huge help, I know.
Yeah. I love that you shared that, because I do, one of my non-negotiables in the morning is I do breath work, because I think I agree with you. Oxygen is the essential thing for our brains, right? And it kind of helps things moving along. So doing breath work, but I love the fact that I didn't realize there's different breath works for, you know, like motivation and those kinds of stuff. So I'm definitely going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
And I also like the fact that, you know, like you're sharing these tips and you're very open and honest in terms of, you know, you're not trained in it yet, but you will be, and you're sharing this. And in the future, maybe you can include additional resources for us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I'm super excited for additional resources that people can learn from you in regards to the breath work. So thank you for sharing that. So again, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for having all of these things that you've shared with us today. I think is so helpful for everyone. So if people want to connect with you for the breath work or anything else that you have for us that you've shared, where can people connect with you online? And if you have any special offers that people can find on your websites and that kind of stuff, where can we find that?
For sure. At the moment, my main social media has been my main platform right now, but I do have a website as well. It's just oilbabies.com. And you can always email me or, you know, direct message me. I answer them all personally. Nothing is auto message. So that's one rule. It's one of my non-negotiables, is I will never automate that part of it, because it's all about relationships. So you can DM me on Instagram. It's just oil_babies. Facebook is just oilbabies. I'm new on TikTok right now, so you can find really helpful tips and videos on there. And I will be doing some breathwork videos with oils on there. And then just info@oilbabies.com. You can email me anything. So yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that, and for being willing to jump on DMs and messages for people as well for any questions they might have and follow up. So I will include your links in the show notes and interview notes as well. So thank you so much for everyone else that's tuning in, and make sure to also join our free group, passionbreakthrough.com/community, so that you can join these conversations live and also ask any questions you might have for Holly. So if you need additional support to thrive in your business, you can also find additional support in there. So join us for the next Passion Breakthrough interview series, and talk to you soon.